Can you imagine listening to a song that was comprised only of drums? Or just drums and bass? Without something over top, it just seems incomplete. That would be like, well, listening to radio with no alternative or community programming. That's why you have it tuned to 99.1 FM, CJAM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit. And listen online at cjam.ca.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
If you've heard about podcasting but still are not sure what it is, or if you've thought about making one, today's guest, Mike LaPlante from Easy Mac Podcast, aka Lippo from Big JD and Lippo in the Morning here at CJAM, is here to discuss this phenomenon. And if you have no clue what a podcast is, you're really in for a treat because it's rather fascinating where this technology has gone and how it's changed the way we listen to radio and watch television for that matter. Mike, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thanks, Big JD. Glad to be here. Thanks for asking me on.
So I want to ask you how you got started in podcasting, but first, what the heck is a podcast?
A podcast is a pre-recorded program, can be audio, can be video, and it's basically a radio show or a TV show that is accessible through the internet.
Okay. And when did this start? Like, when did a podcast originate?
Podcasting originated in 2004 with the invention, the discovery, the innovative thing that, what was the guy's name? Adam Curry had a big part in it, but I'm trying to think of the guy who actually invented the enclosure term, enclosure tag in RSS feeds.
Okay, I thought you were going to be talking about the iPod.
They came much after podcasting. So where did podcasting come from is they created this tag that allowed people to get podcasts or these radio internet shows that people could get. As the new ones kept coming on, you'd get the newest one.
Right.
Using this enclosure tag, which is, you know, that's a geek speak for what happens in the background.
Which is similar to what blogging was, kind of on steroids, which we'll talk about.
Podcasting is how that works. Is basically blogging on steroids. People started blogging, so it's an RSS feed. So as soon as you wrote something new, the person who's following you or subscribed to your RSS feed, he would get his new blog. They added the enclosure tag to RSS feeds. People were able to not just type what they thought, but now they could speak what they thought and enclose an MP3 file with the new blog.
Right, right. Where's the best place or top few places maybe to find podcasts?
There really is only one really good place to get podcasts, and it's iTunes. iTunes mm-hmm. is the number one place to do a lot of stuff. If you own a Macintosh, you know that iTunes is heavily integrated into the operating system. But even if you have Windows and you own an iPhone or an iPod or an iPod Touch or an iPad, you know that iTunes is one of the best podcast aggregators out there. So you just subscribe to it in iTunes and they have the whole directory there. You just, all the podcasters do is give iTunes their information and make their podcasts available to iTunes and then people subscribe to them. And subscribing is free.
And of course, both audio and video podcasts.
Yes. So if it's an audio podcast, usually it's an MP3 file, which is very accessible. Or if it's a video podcast, usually it's a some kind of MPEG file, usually right. An M4V or something like that.
And a little later as well, I want to talk a little bit about file formats.
All right.
And then there's iTunes U. What exactly is iTunes U?
iTunes U has been around for, I'm going to say, 3-4 years now. And basically what it is universities have their lectures recorded and then they put them up in iTunes U, and you can basically go to iTunes U in within iTunes and learn how to speak a new language, how to code programming, what you can do is limitless.
There are definitely some important terms to know with relation to podcasting, whether you're, you know, you want to listen to podcasts or make podcasts. And one, obviously, I would say, because this is how it kind of originated, is blogging. So kind of tell us what blogging was and sort of what it is now with a podcast.
Well, blogging started as a way for people to get stuff off their chest, or they wanted to keep people informed on a specific topic, whether it was making beer or programming a computer or fixing your car. People wrote blogs, and it's basically, you kept adding to the amount of information you had on your blog. But people wanted to add their voice. They wanted to speak something and let people know without having to type all this out. So with the inclusion of the enclosure tag within the blogging language, you're able to add MP3 files and now video files too.
It's kind of surprising. Before that, was there a way to add an MP3 file to a blog at all, or just it didn't exist?
It didn't exist, right.
It's odd that nobody thought of doing it any sooner than that, because it hasn't been around all that long.
No, it hasn't been. It's been rapidly changing, that's for sure.
And let's talk a little bit about that RSS feed. That's the XML file that actually adds all this functionality.
The RSS feed, yeah, which stands for Real Simple...
Syndication,
yeah. So basically, you create something, and someone's subscribed to that RSS feed, they get the newest one as soon as you make it available. And when you make it available, you can actually, you don't have to make it available as soon as you are done with it. You can make it, publish it, you know, a week later.
So
you
right.
Within that language, you can type when you want it to be released.
It really is based on the idea, like, you know, you say web pages are live, and that's what that's sort of like. I mean, somebody has to update that, but it's sort of like a live page that changes all the time, and people can actually, when you subscribe to that, you get those updates to your computer. And then there's web hosting. You need to kind of know what that term means, especially if you're making a podcast.
If you're making a podcast, there are places that you have to put your MP3 files. They have to be stored somewhere. Not many people store their own MP3 files on their home computer. They have to be served from a server somewhere. So unless you have a server in your house and you're doing this all yourself, you're going to want to get some web hosting somewhere. Most people's ISPs, internet providers, do provide you with some space on their servers for making web pages. Mm-hmm. But it's not usually enough, because once you start podcasting, these files tend to be somewhat largest compared to a web page file size. Mm-hmm. So usually you'll actually get a dedicated web hosting service, and there's hundreds of them out there. Bluenote is a big one. I know that my friend Brian Ibbett, who's a very popular podcaster, he uses Bluenote, and GoDaddy's another really big one. That's they're relatively inexpensive, and they have good packages that are suited to different people's needs.
Right. And I find that some of those, like probably the ones you mentioned, are they have packages and that are geared towards podcasting or you know, multimedia streaming and stuff like that, as opposed to just a standard web host company that doesn't necessarily cater to that, or doesn't have especially the size and, you know, allow the amount of traffic that you need with like something like that and online radio and stuff like that.
Yeah. And there's a problem with podcasting is if you're good and your content is good, you'll become popular.
It's going to be busy.
You're going to be busy. Mm-hmm. And usually a lot of these web hosting companies have limits to how much bandwidth you can in either send out right. or come in. So if you get popular, you want to make sure that your web hosting company is going to back you up if it does get popular.
And I guess it would be a lot easier to just do that from the get-go than have to change that later if you didn't buy a package that was... You know, that was going to be able to hold yes. what you need to put up there.
A lot of web hosting companies now, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's some out there that don't put a limit on to how much you can send out right, to your listeners. It probably costs a little bit of extra money, but it's well worth the money.
And then there's the aggregator, and you mentioned this a little bit with iTunes being an aggregator, but what exactly, again, is an aggregator, and how does that work?
Well, typically, a person who listens to podcasts or watch podcasts doesn't listen to just one podcast. They usually have a bundle of podcasts they either listen to or watch. So you subscribe to different podcasts, and they get released at different dates and different times or whatever. So what you want is something that will go check to see if there's a new episode available for the podcast that you are subscribed to. So what an aggregator does is does the checking for you on an interval that you can determine, or just does it automatically, and will download it and make it available to however you're going to listen to it. Most people listen to a podcast either on their computer or on a mobile device.
Mm-hmm. There's podcasts of all different genres and types and everything, but spoken word, the difference between spoken word and music, obviously the music podcasts would require a license for the most part to air copyrighted music. So what's maybe the difference there to consider if you know you're actually considering making a podcast of your own or something like that, and what happens with is if you need rights or things like that.
Typically, if you're going to play some copyrighted music on your podcast, you should get permission to play it, either from the publisher or from the band itself.
Even if it's an indie, an independent type music show.
Exactly. Sure. However, when podcasting started, I think the record labels, which actually give the licenses to make stuff available to everybody, including on the radio, they were a little nervous. They thought, okay, everybody's going to be putting copyrighted music into their podcast. We're going to have some kind of mechanism in place to check all these podcasts to make sure there isn't copyrighted material in it. Mm-hmm. It turns out it wasn't really that big of an issue. Podcasting didn't take the place of radio, let's say.
Seemed to be more geared towards people that had something to say as opposed to just, playing music.
Exactly. So some of the podcasts that I listen to, and I know there's other podcasts out there, do play copyrighted music, and it's kind of like a gray area right now, whereas that these podcasters didn't get the license to play that song on the podcaster.
Right.
Unless you have like millions of people watching or listening to your podcast, which is just a few, upper echelon podcasts that have networks or something that they then want to worry about having the proper license to play copyrighted material.
So who can make a podcast?
Only the very special people in this world can make podcasts. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody can make a podcast, typically. Mm-hmm. If you want to make a spoken word podcast or a music podcast, all you have to do is have some software on your computer and a microphone. And a lot of these computers have microphones built into them, even though I would not recommend, if you're going to start a podcast, to actually use the microphone that's built into anything.
Right. You can do it super cheap and easy, but you kind of want to have a quality program.
You do. It's amazing how many podcasts are out there that don't have some quality control, I'm going to say. But the content that's within the podcast, it's amazing. You're like, yeah, I wish this sounded better. Please improve your setup or do something.
Speaking of which, can you tell us some of the bigger podcasters out there and maybe what's made them more popular?
Well, a lot of the bigger podcasts come from traditional media. Mm-hmm. Like I know in Canada here, CBC has a huge line of podcasts that they make available. And, ABC, CBS, all the big names, they all have podcasts. And a lot of the news outlets as well have their own podcasts. So they take certain snippets of their news and include it in their podcasts. And I know Global TV, which is another one. I watch the news every day, but I watch it in a podcast form on my laptop. They get big numbers because they have a bigger background to come from. So people who couldn't get to watch it, they can go watch it in a podcast form. Whereas on the more indie side or the more grassroots level, there's the Twit Network, which is huge. It's basically a tech-based podcast network. And, they get upwards to hundreds of thousands of listeners to different podcasts that are in their network. Coverville, the one I mentioned before, that's a big music one. He's a guy who would be a good example of who has to get licenses from the record companies before he plays the songs. Because there's, like I say, hundreds of thousands of people listening to this song. Whereas if you play a song on a radio in this market we're in right now, you're only going to get tens of thousands of people listening to it. So I can see where the music companies are coming as far as that goes. Other bigger podcasts out there, like I said, Adam Curry, he's another guy he's the pioneer of podcasting. He's also has his No Agenda podcast, which is kind of like a conspiracy thing. And it's very big. They got, I think, 500,000 people listening to their show. Yeah.
And is there money in podcasting?
There can be money in podcasting. I know my buddy Ken Ray, he's out of Buffalo, New York. He does a Macintosh news program, plus a couple other side ones as well. And it's his day job. He scripts out a podcast every single day, and he has advertisers. That's the only way you can really make money is through advertising. So you sell advertisements in your podcast, and then those advertisers give you money, and you make a living out of it that way.
Right, so like regular radio and television, I guess, same thing, advertising as well, probably the websites and things like that they could sell advertising on.
Exactly, yep.
Then I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the differences or similarities between podcasting and internet radio.
Well, internet radio is a streaming protocol, so you can go on any radio station that offers their signal through the internet, or there's a lot of radio stations on the internet that are not really stations. That is their sole purpose for being, is there an internet radio station.
Right.
So they pay license fees to the music companies as well, and they play music on there. But it's all streaming, so it's what you get what they're giving you when they're giving it to you. Whereas podcasting, on the other hand, is a specific program that you're interested in listening to, and you can listen to it anytime you want to listen to it. So it's what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it.
Right.
That's what podcasting is has over.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the software and equipment used to make podcasts.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
Okay, we're back. I'm talking to avid podcast producer and host, Mike LaPlante. What got you interested in podcasting, Mike?
Well, when I was a teenager, the one thing I really wanted to do was be a DJ at a radio station.
Oh, really? With that voice?
I know.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. So,
no, that's a joke.
That didn't work out. They said I was a little too squeaky. No.
I think.
I actually never really got into it. I know when I went to college, I took some radio and broadcasting classes there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people used me as their talent. Like, you know, you got to use kids in your class. And
fitting.
So I kind of had that feeling. But then I knew other people who actually, that was their goal. And they had more motivation than I did. Mm-hmm. And they applied themselves a little better than I did. And I found out how much money they were making. And I said, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't survive on that. Seriously, it was like poverty level. They don't make much money.
Hold on a second. Are you going to eat that crumb?
So that was the one thing that totally discouraged me from going in. There just wasn't enough money in it. Like, you know, and when you're young and you're hungry and, you know, I guess I just really didn't want to do it. And there was other opportunities that came my way. So podcasting was a way for me to actually get behind the microphone and do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Whereas when you get into radio, you're just doing what they tell you to do. And at right. the beginning, you're cleaning the toilets and making coffee. So I didn't want to do that unless you get into the university radio scene, which is a good way to get in as well.
Of course, this is the big time stuff.
Mm-hmm. So podcasting really, it was like an avenue for me to actually get into it. And it was kind of geeky. I'm kind of into gadgets and stuff and audio. And so it was a good meld for everything coming together and me producing a podcast. There was one thing that really got me into podcasting was listening to the Mac guys. So I was a Macintosh guy and I heard these two guys out of Los Angeles.
My Mac guys.
That's what it was called. My Mac guys. And it was these two dudes, like I said, out of Los Angeles. I think they were both in the film industry one way or another. And I thought, listen to these guys. I can totally relate to these two guys. I can do this. Why am I not doing this? And then I got a hold of Jeff Oppen and we got together and we started our own podcast.
Pretty neat. We just heard your story of what kind of motivated you to do that. And some of that stemmed from wanting to be in broadcast in whatever capacity. What about, why would somebody want to do a podcast? Like, what are maybe some of the reasons why somebody would kind of decide to do that? Aside from wanting to be in broadcasting, but I mean, you know, maybe having some type of hobby or...
Yes, a lot of podcasts are hobby-based, and those usually are some of the better ones too, because people are passionate about what they do, like whether it's making beer or they're into making robots or they're into programming or whatever they're into. They're passionate about this and they would like to pass it down. You know, their kids might be total geeks too, but they want more people to know about this thing that I'm really passionate about. Mm-hmm. So how can you do that? Well, you start yourself a podcast, make it sound good, put some good content in it, and a lot of people will listen to you.
And how long are some of the shows generally, or how long maybe should they be?
Timing is always not an issue, but it's something that you really have to think about. What kind of show is it you're doing will determine how long the actual show should be. Mm-hmm. Also, it's the how often are you going to produce the show. So if it's a daily show, you don't want to produce a two-hour show daily. You'd be working constantly. Whereas if you produce a half-an-hour show, you may be able to do that on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But if you do a weekly show or a monthly show, those are the most common ones, a daily or a weekly or a monthly show.
Right.
Daily shows, like I say, that's for the big boys and who can afford to have something there. So you're talking anywhere from a half an hour to an hour, whereas, but shows like This Week in Tech off the Twit Network, those are like 2 hours long. Mac Break Weekly, 2 hours long.
Yeah.
So, and that's a one, and they do
but
that
they're making some good money too. So
they are making some really good money, yes. They need to make the show that long so they can fit three nice ads in there.
And we talked about software a little earlier. I mean, just the fact that you could record it easily on a computer with a built-in microphone, but obviously there's other software as well. Let's talk a little bit about that software that you'd use on the computer for recording podcasts.
Well, you need some kind of sound recording software. So if you own a Macintosh, it comes with GarageBand, which is what a lot of podcasters from their home do use. But there's also a professional podcasting and somewhat in between, intermediate. So there's the prosumer software out there, like Logic Express, right?
Is sure, yeah, more prosumer.
Prosumer is, it would be
Logic. As opposed to Logic Pro or something.
Right, Logic Pro would be for studio recording type stuff, where you don't need something like that, and it costs hundreds of dollars. So you can spend around $100 for something like Logic Express, or like I say, you get GarageBand in your that comes with your computer. And then there's the free software that's available on, it's on Linux, it's on Windows, it's on Mac, and that's Audacity. And they keep, that program is constantly updated, and it's a basic sound recording piece of software that you can use.
Good to note too that these are multi-track recording software, as opposed to, you know, just recording something on a, like a single track, especially if you have, if you're putting IDs and things in it. And I want to talk a little bit about those as well, like stingers, IDs, and intros to your show and stuff like that. It's probably good to have a multi-track program as opposed to just a single
right track. And it's, if people out there don't know what multi-tracking is, multi-tracks means you can, there's more than one thing being recorded at the same time. So
or separately on separate tracks, but you can layer.
Oh, right. So I was going to say that. So there's the layering effect that you can have on that. So you can record one track, and then without having to worry about wrecking the first track, you can record something on the next track after that. And so having multi-track available to you does help as far as adding stuff after music or IDs or stuff like that, for sure.
You mentioned using the Mac. What is you know, the Mac versus PC thing as far as podcasting? It tends to seem that Mac is a little bit more intuitive or easier to use for podcasting, or more set up for it.
I think it's more set up for, like I say, you know, they include a piece of software in here that you can multi-track record right out of the box.
Yeah, whereas, I don't think PC has that.
Whereas, yeah, I'm not very familiar with the Windows end of things that much myself. But yeah, it's very intuitive and easy to use for sure. But I'm sure there's other, like if you can run Audacity on Windows and you'd be able to create a podcast, no problem.
But once you're finished, basically, I mean, you have to put this on the web. Like we talked about web hosting and serving, but how do they do that? Do they need web design software of some kind, or at least an FTP program? Or are there places that can kind of do that for you?
Well, some web hosting companies out there do all that for you. You just send, you upload the MP3, and every file that's put into this directory is automatically, it's all done for you. It creates an XML file. But if you want a little bit more control over some aspects of how your podcast is being published, what you're going to want to do is, you can just use a simple text editor on Windows. You know, you can use Notepad, and then on a Mac you can use TextEdit. And you can just create an RSS file, which is just some plain text with some tags in it.
Right.
It's not very hard to learn how to do this, but it takes a lot of practice, because after 5 years, I still make mistakes in my RSS feed. So yeah, you have to, you don't have to learn how to do that. There's automated ways of doing it. And as far as actually getting your MP3 file up on the internet, FTP is the way to do that. And an FTP program, FTP stands for File Transfer Protocol, and it basically takes the file off your computer and puts it on a server somewhere.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about hardware. We can kind of encompass some of these things together, mics and mixers, that kind of thing.
A simple setup can be something as simple as a microphone you buy at Radio Shack, as opposed to the one inside of your computer. Because the one you buy at Radio Shack may be cheap, but it's going to be better than the one you buy.
Sure.
And you're going to be able to, you know, put it up to your mouth and everything. And some of them you can buy, like I say, at Radio Shack or at Walmart even. I bet you can probably get a mic that has a USB end on it. Or there's other devices like the iMic that you can plug some mics into it, and it just goes in the USB as well. And even headsets. There's some nice headsets out there. Playtronics makes some really good headsets that record really well. So you might use that for your gaming or Skype. But it's also good for recording podcasts as well.
Right, sure.
Plus, if you want to get a little more complicated, a little more... you want to tweak your sound even a little bit more, you can go, you can spend thousands of dollars on a microphone, but you don't have to. You can spend, you know, $300-$400 on a microphone and get a basic interface for your software that you use on your computer, like a mixer,
right?
That will plug in either USB or FireWire, depending on what kind of inputs you have on your computer, and then that way you can control what goes into your software with the mixer.
The file types that you would save as, you mentioned MP3, is that generally what audio podcast is? I know there are other formats. There's WAV files and AIF files and even AAC files. So
Well, if you want your podcast to be accessible to the most amount of people, almost everything can play an MP3 file. I mean, like some DVD players can play MP3 files. Now TVs can play MP3 files. So if you want your podcast to be able to be played anywhere, an MP3 file is good because one, it's compressed, and two, it's accessible anywhere. Whereas WAV files and AIF files, they're huge files, and you want to make the download as painless as possible.
Right. I wanted to ask you a little bit about quality. Should these files be a full-blown stereo file? Should they be mono files? Should they be, compressed to a certain degree for podcasting? Or does it depend on the podcast?
It will definitely depend on the podcast. If you're doing just a spoken word podcast, mono will definitely suffice. And if you go mono, you're basically cutting the file size in half or more. Because if you have a stereo file, it's just more information going to both sides of the music or whatever you're listening to. So if spoken word, mono, if you're doing music, a lot of music in your podcast, you're going to want to use a stereo. You're going to want to use a format that is going to be stereo. As far as compression and the quality of the file, there's something called kilobits per second. That's a number that is used to determine on how much information is actually in your file.
Right.
So the fewer the kilobits per second, the lower the quality, the higher you go, the bigger the quality, but also the bigger the file size. So typically for a mono file, you can use like 96 kilobits per second. But if you're going to be including music, you should have at least 128 kilobits per second.
And a lot of times it's better to use a stereo file with music, I guess, because of it being stereo, unless you're playing some really old music.
That's right.
You finish your podcast, you get it up on the web, you got your, but what do you do with it after? How or where would you submit that online for people to know about it or hear about it or, to get it?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. The main thing is to go to iTunes and make sure that you register with them, register your podcast with them, and then you have to give them specific pieces of information, like what kind is it? Does it contain music? Who owns it? Who's responsible? Is it going to be have explicit languages in it, or is it going to be, as they say, clean, so anybody can listen to it? Another way to do it is to go to places like Reverb Nation or CD Baby. They also do the same type of thing. They'll put it on iTunes. They'll make sure it's available to you on iTunes, and they'll aggregate it to throughout the internet so people will know about it. And so those are two different ways to letting people know about your podcast and advertise.
Right.
Drop it as much as you can in other podcasts. Podcasting community is a pretty cool place to be happening. And if you make friends with other podcasters out there, get in the network and people out there will drop your name. Like if just listening to me, I mentioned many other podcasters. Mm-hmm. So that's because it's a really tight community and it's really good to belong if you're going to be a podcaster.
And of course, we've mentioned your Easy Mac podcast. As well, I guess you could promote to Facebook and things like that for people to at least know or hear of your show. It's always good to have a page, social networking.
Yeah, if you can get a good Twitter handle, mine is @Lippo. And if you can get a Facebook page for your podcast, that's also going to help tremendously, of course.
All right, cool stuff. Really appreciate you being on the show, Mike.
Thanks again for having me, Big JD.
And again, you can find Mike at easymacpodcast.com. That's the letter E. The letter Z or Z, macpodcast.com. And you can also find them here with me Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. 99.1 FM, CJAM, Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. And hey, that's tomorrow. We'll see you there. And I'll see you next week here on You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.